Good morning, everybody. Gary here, popping in at the top of this episode to say that this was recorded over a month ago, a month and a half ago at this point. This was supposed to come out in mid-November. This is our NaNoWriMo episode featuring Becca and I and Nick. Like I said, this was supposed to come out a couple weeks ago. Unfortunately, that did not happen because we've been drowning under San Diego Comic-Con stuff. I have been in store every day trying to catch up and do that thing, which is also why we haven't had any minisodes in a while, and is very likely why we might not have another episode for the rest of this year. We are working hard to make it through the holidays and bring everybody... we have so many just like signings and big events and like things like that that are happening. If you're listening to this on Tuesday the 7th when this goes out... this coming weekend is, North Park, this weekend's North Park Book Fair. So please come join us and see us there. If you like this one, please let us know. Stay tuned for new stuff. Again, just sorry that this is so late. Sorry in particular to Nick, because I know you've been asking me to put this up for weeks and... I am just so bad at getting home from work and doing work stuff. So, thank you everybody for listening and enjoy the episode.
Welcome to A Galaxy Not So Far Away, a Mysterious Galaxy podcast. I'm your host, Becca.
And I'm Gary.
And today we have with us Nick.
Hey!
And we are discussing NaNoWriMo, or National...
Novel Writing Month.
Yeah!
I tried.
I came in with the assist.
Thank you so much, Nick. For those of our listeners that are not familiar, I'm just going to read to you right from their website a quick description. National Novel Writing Month began in 1999 as a daunting but straightforward challenge to write 50,000 words of a novel in 30 days. Now, each year on November 1st, hundreds of thousands of people around the world begin to write, determined to end the month with 50,000 words of a brand new novel. They enter the month as elementary school teachers, mechanics, or stay-at-home parents. They leave novelists. That's really cool.
It's really ambitious.
And they also and they also leave the month brain dead, just so you know.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
It's really funny. Like right before we started, Becca, you were talking about Inktober and comparing it to Inktober. And I sent you a meme that says, Inktober, all your artist friends flood your timeline with beautiful new pieces every day. NaNoWriMo, all of your writer friends go radio silent for a month and post cryptically about wanting to die.
Oh, totally. Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yes.
See, I was dying over that meme because, like, for me, that's how I approach Inktober, or like, we don't call it Inktober anymore, you know, because the guy that coined it is not so great.
Oh.
But this month where we do different drawing prompts, it's a whole thing. He, like, stole it from a black man.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my gosh. Trying to, like, sue people.
Yeah, I remember for, like, that.
The copyright of the word Inktober.
That's wild.
I remember that whole debacle last year, and the other job I do, I work for a Little Fish comic book studio. So we would normally promote everyone doing Inktober. So that was like that was crisis mode of like, oh crap, we need to not promote that one and promote the other like offshoots. Definitely sweep that under the rug.
David has given me a little an answer for what to call it now. Prompt-tober.
Prompt-tober. Okay.
And yeah, so now it's, once again, it's been handed back to the community. And I think for me, I definitely am more like the writers on this side of the meme. Like, I just kind of like post cryptically about how upset I am that I have not caught up with the prompts.
Sure.
And then like a month later, I post like three.
I get that. It's like tough. Like sitting down and producing any sort of content consistently every day is really, really difficult, I think, for any creator. And like, as soon as you start to fall behind, that it's so easy to let that gap just grow.
Absolutely.
I wish NaNoWriMo had this thing where you can just go off a prompt, because it is not. It is just, as you said, with its little short about area, 50,000 words begin November 1st and November 30th. May the odds be ever in your favor. That's pretty much it.
So is there a prompt, or is it just whatever?
It's whatever you want to write.
Whatever. So
that's great. So that's what I figured from the published list that I saw.
Yeah, it originally started earlier in the year, I believe. But then they decided the creator or creators by that time decided to move it to November, because normally November is seen as like a dark and dreary time of the month. It equals out for the 30 days, like basically 1,667 words per day. If you can do that, then you're on track to get to the 50,000 word mark by the end of the month.
How long have you been, like, cause again, Nick, I know you've participated in NaNo in the past. Like, when, do you remember when your first NaNoWriMo was?
Oh my gosh. That is a good question. I want to say I was still working at the Kung Fu Studio. So my first one was like 2012.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. So you've been doing it for a while.
I have. I've only succeeded twice. I have done it. I have participated in like 7, and of the 7, I've only succeeded twice. So what that means for everyone listening is, of the 7 times I tried NaNoWriMo, I have only gotten to that by the end of the 30th, getting to that 50,000 or above word mark. You think it is not hard, but trying to come up with content.
I think that makes so much sense, because like the whole spirit of it is, right, that you're not supposed to like plan or anything before it.
I think people do various.
Well, it says that like you're not supposed to write before the day, right? So
correct.
I guess I took that as like brainstorming is also writing.
So you can still have ideas. You can still have like your bullet
no
points.
Thoughts allowed.
No thoughts allowed.
Only writing.
Depends on which type of thoughts we're talking about. Anyway.
Stream of consciousness novel.
And I have totally done that. Actually, the two novels, or the two drafts that I actually like got past that 50,000 word mark, I was the pantser. I had like an idea and then I ran with it. Other than that, all the ones I've tried to plot, I eventually like ran out of ideas, or was just so inundated with regular life of the November that I was like, oh yeah, I can't do it. I
think it's so like interesting too, just like the like, I guess the whole like phrasing and everything, right? Like the subtle things about it, like the even the term succeeding, because I think the big difference with like Inktober is, or like Prompttober as we now know it, is that everyone emphasizes that like even if you only do one of a prompt list, like you did something, and therefore like you did it, you've participated. And so like I think that, do you think that there is a an anxiety that adds to it for the young people that are like, you know, doing it for the first time, of like, I'm not like, I am a failure if I'm not succeeding in completing the prompt?
Oh, young or old, there is that anxiety of, crap, I am not going to be to make
it. Oh, man. That feels so harsh.
It is. Yeah. And it took me a while to realize that, no, just because I didn't fully complete the objective of NaNoWriMo, if I even came out with something by the end of this, I have something I can use for later. Or, you know what, I managed to exercise my creative muscles.
Yeah. And
I may not use this later, but it taught me something.
That's how I feel about what I would actually consider very similar to NaNoWriMo for comic creators, which is Hourly Comic Day, or it's also known as 24-Hour Comic Day.
Mm-hmm.
where on February 1st, for every hour you're awake, you just draw a comic per hour. And, like, I love how deconstructed it is. Like, literally, it can be a single panel thing. It can be absolutely beautifully rendered and, like, colored. It can be a sketch on a napkin, you know, at a diner in the middle of your day. And I think that that's great. Like, I think it's a lot more manageable, like, for the creative mind.
Sure.
I think,
go ahead, Nick.
There's actually a webcomic artist that I follow that she does that, but once a month. So she does a 24-hour comic, and that's, like, the ones I look forward to. Because it's awkwardzombie.com.
Okay. I was like, I think I know who you're talking about.
Is that one?
I think so. I'm going to pull it up.
Okay. And it's funny because they just do every hour of what they're doing. Like, I am writing comics right now. My cat is in my lap. Meow. I am now having dinner with blah, blah, blah. And they're hilarious because they put in a funny little twist on it.
Yep. I am going to link in the Zencaster so we can put in the description.
Zencaster's not going to hold the link after we finish recording. Just drop it in this nano doc.
Okay, cool. I will just drop it.
Yeah, because that way I'll have it when I'm doing the edit. Bottom.
Drop it like
that's perfect. Please. I've only participated in Nano twice, and both times I never crossed like the 15,000 word mark because I am meticulous when I try to edit, and I can't, like, there's not enough time for me to, like, go back and fix the mistakes I made and also still do the 16,607 words that I'm supposed to do.
That is the thing that I had to, like, be very strict with myself about. Is, like, no going back and editing while you're writing, because it's going to take even longer to get to your word mark for the day.
Yeah.
It's just write with reckless abandonment. Your first draft is going to be utter garbage.
That's the thing. This is a first draft. I think that people expect that they're going to finish, they're going to be done, and they're going to have a perfect 50,000 word novel. And, like, that's not how this process works.
That's why there's that phrase, write drunk and edit sober.
Yeah.
However, I said that exact phrase to someone who I know is a writer and has books out. And I was very excited that they had books out. I won't name names. But then I mentioned that and he gives me a look and says, no, I don't believe in that. Oh, what do you believe in? Just write drunk. I'm like, what? What? Oh yeah. You know, I don't really edit. I'm like,
that's wild to me.
So
he is the owner of all the Chaos Emeralds, dude. Like,
yeah.
He literally said, I fear nothing.
Oh, Chaos. Yeah. That is definitely Chaos.
That's so wild to me. I can't imagine. I don't know. I get so into, like, outlining and plotting and,
I mean, going Gary, back that's and, like, because you approach fiction like it's all conspiracy theory.
You're
like,
right. I do.
You like to make your poster board, your vision board.
Yeah. Oh, and that's exactly my approach to, like, when I'm, like, not only, like, in the stuff that I like to read, but, like, in the stuff that I've, like, worked on writing.
You should do collages.
Yeah.
I bet you would make excellent collage work.
Maybe. I don't know. I haven't done that work before.
Oh my gosh, we're going to have a collage night.
Great, it'll be beautiful.
But yeah, the actual work behind the writing period is in the editing process. That's, a lot of authors say that. That's where the real work begins. So I think for anyone who is curious, I know this is going to air, by the way, pro tip. This is from the past. We're recording from the past. So,
but we are in anyone, the midst of November for
we
people
are,
who are...
But yeah. For everyone who has decided to take the plunge, either for the first time or you're crazy enough to do it again, I don't know why you would. As you know, I have never done that.
someone who's done it seven times, I don't know why you'd want to do
exactly.
This.
Exactly. But kudos to you. Just remember, don't be afraid of what you're writing. By the time you're done, take a week, 2 weeks, a month off, whatever long it takes to get back to your draft to eventually do the editing. But just get something out there.
Most importantly, in my opinion, as someone that works, you know, with their hands 24/7, don't think that stretches are not necessary. If you're not used to like typing or writing like for hours nonstop, please stretch your hands. Please save yourself.
So, Becca, you've introduced a very interesting thing I wanted to talk about, a method in which we do either art or write. Obviously, there's a lot of different mediums for doing art. I think for people who do writing, the only thing they can now think of is just sitting in front of a computer. I think it's that meme picture of Coraline's father from, from Coraline. Yes. He's like, he's hasn't seen the light of day. He is depressed as heck, and he's just hunched over his computer screen. There is many different ways, obviously, you can write. There are people who, a lot of people, of course, that for convenience purposes have their computers, their tablets for writing. There's people who are cozy with a notebook and pen or pencil. There is the very rare percentage of people that will still use a typewriter. I wish I could do that, but those things are hard to lug around wherever you want to go.
David inherited his grandfather's typewriter, and it is an absolute just like brick.
What is it? What is it? Do you know what it is?
No, I don't, but I will have David tell you.
I have a couple. One of them is a 1947 Underwood.
I could not tell you.
It is a sexy beast. and then there are also those who, which, again, by the time this airs, let's see if it actually happens. I told you I wasn't probably going to participate, Gary, but
I was going to ask you this.
But I think I am.
Really?
What I'm going to do this year for the first time I've ever done is actually use a digital tape recorder.
Oh,
that sounds so smart.
For everyone out there who wants to try this out, see how it works. For a few years ago, when I used to do journalism writing for an online New York blog, I had a tape recorder to help me with my interviews, because then I can't take notes super fast. So I would go back.
Yeah, David did the same thing.
My notes. So I still have that, and I just realized there's free transcribing software.
Oh.
So it may not be the best thing. It may end up like a garbage piece of text, like your talk to text. You know, before we started the podcast, we had a moment of that where we talked about garbage talk to text. But I don't know. I'm excited to try it out and at least attempt NaNoWriMo in that way.
That's exciting.
No, I love that you bring up all of the different ways to participate, because for a long time, the biggest and one of the biggest problems with the creator of Inktober was that he really looked down on people that did not do traditional ink to paper interpretations.
Elitist.
And
so
there's always going to be that divide between traditional and digital artists, but as we move into this like newer generation of creators, most of us do both. Because that's the only option now, is to do both. Like, you have to do it all. And so I agree. Like, it doesn't matter which way you do it. Like, all that matters is you take care of your body and don't push your health. I know that, like, there's, you know, the fantasy of, like, the struggling author and the struggling writer and the struggling artist. But, like, don't live that fantasy. It sucks.
Yeah. Don't kill your liver with whiskey, please.
Literally, just please. At least drink some water in between. Come on.
Absolutely.
We gotta be big kids now.
That's funny.
Yeah,
I feel like the biggest thing for me, the benefit of something like NaNo is just like getting in the habit of sitting down and writing every day. Right? Like, some days you're not going to hit that word count goal that you have set in mind, but it's the practice of like making the space in your life to like sit and write. So for me, like when I've participated in the past, like there are days where I'm at my computer and I'm able to very easily just like knock out several words. I wrote a sentence,
what
guys.
What I learned in boating school is
golf clap. Golf clap for you.
But then, like, sometimes there are days where I just like didn't feel great, and I would just like sit in my bed with a, like you said, like with a notebook and a pen, and just like scratch out bits of like what I think the next part of this draft is going to look like, or whatever. And like that still counts as writing.
Yeah, I think it's important for people to realize, like, I think that people's, like, idea of what a actual full-time writer looks like is not the reality. And I will say that as someone who is friends with writers like Sam Maggs, who has literally told me that so much of the job, you can even watch her TikToks, like, making fun of it, is just, like, sitting and, like, doom scrolling on your phone at your computer because you're like, I don't know what to write right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, that unfortunately is part of the process. Like,
I mean, and I think people, you know,
it's not normal to be productive 24/7.
Yeah, you look at something like Nano and like, yeah, you totally burn yourself out, right? I was just thinking about, you know, friend of the store, Kirsten White is working on like some new books right now, but she just tweeted a couple days ago. Well, I guess a month ago by the time people hear this, about how she's like, oh, she only got so many words written for novel number 20, but she's also been drafting number 21 because she's working with her editor. She's also finishing edits on 19, like has multiple pans on the fire, right?
Well,
that's being juggled at the same time, because like you can't just there aren't very many authors that just like knock out a novel and it's perfect and they send it off to get published and they start the next one. Like, you're usually spinning a lot of plates.
Yeah. And that's not even counting if she's writing for anything else, right?
Yeah.
Like at the time, like right now, again, I'll use Sam just because we've been talking more, so yeah. I'm more familiar. She, you know, had several books come out in this past year and at the same time was writing for the new Call of Duty game that's coming out. Like, and at the same time was, you know, doing this, that, and the other. Like, all creatives like have to, you know, I think almost constantly do multiple things 24/7.
Yeah.
And so like all of that is just to say there is no like fantasy correct way. Like even if your like book makes it right, like it doesn't mean that like it's just going to be smooth sailing from there. It's always going to be a little bit of a battle because it's a skill.
Yeah.
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 There's many
you
people
must
that
unlock the tomb of your brain.
There's many ways other than just like we talked about the different ways actually people will write. But aside from that, there's people that have the time where they can sit down and just do a lengthy write. There's people that will try to catch as much time in between their lunch breaks or work breaks. I saw a photo of a woman who was in the break from a looked like a play rehearsal. And she had her little laptop out. She had her full makeup and costume on and she was putting in her words between breaks of a play that she's
in.
That's insane. Like, kudos to you to like find the time to be like on it.
Can I ask a question I feel like you will know the answer to?
Sure.
So I know that there is another event for writers where like you post your pitches on social media for publishers to look at. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh no. I knew Comic-Con has that kind of stuff when it's a regular year.
I also occasionally see like folks on Twitter who will like request people like pitch stuff to them. But I don't know if that's part of like a bigger thing. Or if that's just people looking for submissions, you know?
I'm trying to look it up right now.
No problem. There's like a little yap yap dog in my neighborhood that has been barking for like 10 minutes. And every so often, Sky also starts barking because I think she's getting irritated. So there's going to be a lot of like dog barks in the background of my audio today.
Aw, Borkies.
Uh-huh. Any luck, Becca?
Yeah, I'm not sure if this is right, though, so we can move on until I can.
Sure.
Okay. And I want to just bring up that we talked about how people write, but for those who are interested or are participating, there's definitely a lot of resources for you to tap to help your writing. Not only can you get inspiration from other authors, like right now on our social medias, when this has already aired, we've already had begun doing plenty of NaNoWriMo You Can Do It and other things, recommendations for books. Like one of my favorite books that I will always tout as inspiration for writing is actually called On Writing by Stephen King.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's like a one that we should always carry in the store. And for anyone who is a writer, wants to be a writer, I personally, again, everyone's a bit different, but I personally think you would benefit having it on your shelves. Half of it is pretty much biography from Stephen King on his life with writing. And then the other half is him talking about the various things that he has put in his quote-unquote writing toolbox. All the little tidbits. It's called A Memoir of Craft on Writing. So, yeah. On writing. Another one that just came out a few months ago, kind of under the radar, but a lot of books honestly have been because of the pandemic, is Charlie Jane Anders' Never Say You Can't Survive.
Yeah!
How to Get Through Hard Times by Making Up Stories. Have you, like, read the little story behind the book?
No, I haven't. I was actually going to ask if you've read this, because I remember seeing a couple copies come in, but I haven't picked it up myself.
So, I read the background on it, and I immediately bought it. So, Charlie Jane Anders, wonderful science fiction author, wonderful person. This book came out just from my understanding with reading the book itself, like the text on it. So they were supposed to be working on another novel entirely, and just the pandemic happened and other things in their life, which just became a little bit too much. And so they decided to write a book that was kind of inspirational and about how you can take all of that crap, basically, and use it to write and then therefore survive. Hence the title, Never Say You Can't Survive.
Yeah. That's wonderful. That's amazing.
And Charlie, bless their soul, they also then, for a lot of the independent bookstores who's been suffering, especially last year, started a whole, like, holiday to get people to buy at independent bookstores. What was it called? What was it called?
I'm going to look it up right now.
It was a hashtag and everything.
Yeah.
Sorry, typing with nails is hard.
I know, I was going to say, I like how clacky your keyboard is.
I love clacky.
Thank you. Clack, clack. Damn it. All I'm getting is virtual independent bookstore day.
Oh. I think that might be it. No.
No. I don't think so.
Holiday. Charlie Jane.
Well, while you look for that, I found what I was talking about.
Yes, please.
It's gone through several different interpretations. There's a couple different branches of it, but it is hashtag PitMad from Pitch Wars.
Oh.
It is a original Twitter pitch event where writers tweet a 280 character pitch for their completed, polished, unpublished manuscript. It's only open to people with no previous works. Agents and acquiring editors may request by liking and favoriting the tweets pitched by authors. Every unagented writer is welcome to pitch, and all genres and categories are welcome. I know that there's specifically a YA branch of it, and there is now, in an effort to amplify Black voices, a hashtag Black Voices Matter that they ask you to include if you are participating. It is a quarterly event. We'll link to it below.
Yeah.
This year, it will be happening again on December 2nd. So.
That's awesome.
And the big thing is, guys, if you're participating, you need to make sure that your friends and followers understand that they cannot like any of your tweets. It is okay for them to retweet or quote retweet, but they can't, like, use the hashtag, and they can't just favorite it, because that's, like, specifically for publishers and authors to communicate with one another.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. That's cool.
So I encourage everyone to check it out. Like,
so when you finish Nano with your beautiful, polished, perfect novel,
and go pitch it on December 2nd.
He almost made me sick just saying that, Gary.
I know, I apologize.
Do you have an idea of what you're gonna work on this year, Nick?
Okay, so I attempted to start something last year, but especially with COVID sadness, that was completely not happening. But so I just out of nowhere, I got just flash of ideas for that same story. I'm like, oh shit. It started with a really good title that I want for, which I will not reveal because how dare you people try to steal my stuff. I must protect it. So
my stuff.
So I am definitely going to run with that same story because I have a lot more. I had a general idea where I want to go with it, but now I have pretty much a beginning and an ending. It's the middle that I have to now come up with.
Sure.
So I'm very excited. And I think I might have to, again, this is happening in the past, I might have to reread on writing. There's actually a book that the people of NaNoWriMo came out with. We actually have it in the store. We should still. I know we definitely do have it now. It is... I'm looking through notes. Ah, there we go. No plot, no problem. Low stress, high velocity guide to writing a novel in 30 days.
Amazing.
Now, this full disclosure, I've read this book. It's not going to give you, like, the complete motivation to do a novel from day one to day 30. But at least it gives you some sort of motivation and ideas of how to keep going. So you're pretty much not just alone. And there's with NaNoWriMo, you're never alone. If you go on to NaNoWriMo.org, that's NaNoWriMo.org, with one really cool tool that they have on there is you can actually track the progress of how you're doing for your book. So there's a great community on there. A lot of people will encourage each other. If you don't feel like being socially active, that's entirely fine. You can announce the title of your book and maybe a little something of what you want it to be, but you can actually every day input how many words you have written for the day, and it'll update your word count. So that will help you keep track of how you're doing on your words. It'll even have a little projection of, oh, if you keep on this trajectory, you just need to do this many words per day. So if you like had a slow day the day before, it will take into account like you didn't really write anything. So like, oh, so now you have to do like 183 words per day on average to make it. Or if you do like a big day word sprint, you'll update that and like, oh, you only need to do 1500 words per day to get to the end at this
rate.
That
makes sense.
So that's awesome. Has been super with actually keeping motivation, just seeing the numbers like, okay, I can do this or crud. I need to get back on it.
Absolutely.
And if you are a part, if you do get a part of their community, they even have little like, pushes like, okay, you know, you should try between this time and this time to do a word sprint. For those who don't know, a word sprint is just pretty much like a regular running sprint, a physical sprint, just type like the wind, just to get your words out there.
Yeah, and I think that's literally what's so great about community-based events like NaNoWriMo, which is like, it's literally proving that the community in the arts like support one another and will uplift one another and like want to see each other succeed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and obviously by now, because again, this is in the past, we'll have already done several posts of like, okay, guys, you can do it. Here's an inspirational quote. Here's a cute, maybe cat picture or something. I'm putting a lot of pressure on a social media person, I know, but
it's okay, I'll help.
I'm going to make her fulfill these prophecies. I can just say anything right now and she'll have to do it. Doesn't she know?
No,
the power.
That's so funny.
We're going to have to put a bunch of sensors in here. So
it's going
to
be dinosaurs and lasers and pew, pew, pew.
Be like, I can just do whatever. Beep, beep, beep.
Yes, excellent.
That'd be great.
But, what else? Yeah, and not only have I done this, but several regulars of the store, Gary, you said you've done it. Victoria, who is also a bookseller here, she's done it several times. Few of those with, like, me, we would go, how are you doing today? Oh, I'm doing crap. You gotta do better. even, like, and in non-pandemic times, of course, we would, like, visit each other's places, have, like, Amazing Race or Ninja Warriors on the background as we're just sitting at our laptops and writing, typing away.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's nice to know you're not alone and to have someone just being there for that support.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. I did want to, because I like to do this, I had linked to an article, I shared it with both of you, and it just sort of, the title of the article is The Problem with NaNoWriMo, and I was like, wow, that's pretty, and I was like, okay, what is this actually about? And it turned out to be a pretty reasonable discussion of sort of your expectations and, like, what to realistically, you know, expect from yourself and also from the process. And what I found so fascinating was in 2018, only 12% of all the participants actually finished, which is a pretty small number. Like, so I think it even more so, there's more camaraderie between those in the community who don't finish.
Yeah.
The way I like to think about it is, imagine for those who participated and succeeded, imagine if NaNoWriMo didn't happen or they weren't participating, we wouldn't have those stories. That's absolutely, that's the way,
like,
I see it.
Like, I wrote down, like, a Rainbow Rowell and, like, Julie Murphy have had books come out from NaNoWriMo, like, working out for them.
There is some, there are some very successful books that have come out from NaNoWriMo. The Night Circus is one of them by Aaron Morgenstern.
Isn't a Water for Elephants as well?
Don't know about that one, but I know about the Night Circus.
I'm gonna look it up really quick.
The Cinder. This, at least a few of the Cinder books by Marissa Mayer are due in part to NaNoWriMo.
Yeah, and Water for Elephants.
Awesome.
Incredible.
Oh, and I'm going to preface it for everyone who is not familiar with what the size is, because this sounds a lot. 50,000 words sounds a lot. To get a general idea, 50,000 words equals pretty much the size of Mice and Men. And
it's,
if,
like,
you
156
look,
pages, right?
Yeah, if you look at of Mice and Men, it is a tiny book. It's like borderline novella. So I want you all to think, like, a month of continuous hard work will get you this.
Right. I think that's the difference, right? You're not trying to write a multi-book, like, sci-fi, like, world-building series necessarily with this, you know, prompt, but much more, like, of Mice and Men, which is, like, a really important moral idea played out as a story for you to, like, interact with.
But,
like,
but
something that's, like, smaller, right?
But for everyone out there who wants to do those large, huge stories, please go ahead and try. Again, you don't have to finish the novel. All you have to do is just get 50,000 words at least done of something. You don't have to finish the novel. There have been success stories with people who've done huge, large books and have used NaNoWriMo as just that big stepping stone to get their foot into the novel. And they'll eventually...
I'm so glad I said that, because I had no idea that that was something that was possible through this event.
Oh, absolutely. There are people who have started, and they'll finish later with 150,000 words.
Yeah.
Nice.
This article, the one that Becca was referencing, it mentions that Aaron Morgenstern finished the Night Circus over the course of 3 NaNo events.
Oh.
So it wasn't that that book was just knocked out in the first one, but, like, it was an ongoing process that she kept returning to.
And that's, like, something, too, that's important, right? Like, to remember, like, all the published books that got, you know, their start through this event, what we got through the publication is not what necessarily was picked up by the publisher.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like it never gets edited or,
it,
like,
continues to undergo this, like, process of being refined. And
I'm pretty sure it was definitely not the way they wanted it for the first draft. I'm pretty sure
went through some evolution. Statistically, that would be impossible.
I mean,
that's the thing. Like, it's really hard to, you have to hold on to that thought that, like, this is just draft one. Like,
that's hard,
your novel
that's
will not be
hard.
Completed when you complete NaNo.
I wish I could remember who said this, but there was like a short story. It was maybe even a poem talking about how they basically, they write their book and it's their child and they set it out into the world with all of its flaws. And then it just gets trampled on and talked down to. The baby comes back to it. And it's mirroring what happens when a writer sends their darling out to publications, to editors, and they send it back with all this mangled mess of like, oh, this is garbage. Oh, you need to rewrite it. And so they take their darling. They try to smooth out its broken legs. They try to make it presentable for the same audience. So that, I want you to think that's what you're doing. You're creating a child that cannot exist out
there.
Is
that really how writers look at their work?
Yes.
That's insane. Just for perspective, for I know for most artists, it's like we are not necessarily ever done with a piece, but there is a point in time where you have to step away before you descend into madness. Like, nothing will ever be completely done and satisfying. And at some point, your favorite work, you will come to hate looking at. And that's just the name of the game. And nobody might like it until after you're gone. But, like, also, if you like it the moment you create it, that's enough.
No, I would say with writers, once they've, you know, worked on their baby and it has officially been finished, it will go and it will work and live in the world. And they look forward to the next child. Now, there are other people who keep saying, well, I like this baby. And like, well, that's cool, but I have other children. Come on, what author has not said that? Like, oh, what's your next book? I just finished this baby. Come on. They're like, I have other children. I have other books.
That's exactly what happened to Michael Key. And, like, Key and Peele, like, I feel like once they, like, moved out of comedy and started, like, doing other things, both of them, like, got really good acceptance with, like, their first works, and then, like, everyone's been comparing everything they do to those, like, first branchings out from comedy.
It's tough. Well, it's one of those things, like, you know, as Nick was just saying about, like, people constantly ask, like, that's, like, one of the last questions that we ask authors in every event is, like, well, what are you working on next?
And I love the varying degrees of answers we'll get. Like, there are those go-to authors that, like, Kirsten White, who's like, oh, yeah, I'm working on three books all at the same time. And here's what they are. Or there's those some of those authors that are like, man, I don't know. It's like, yeah, I don't have the bandwidth.
The headlights, like, what, working on? No.
Next book? Next
I finished book? This.
Yeah.
We've had some recent authors that were like, oh, I'm still thinking. Which is fair. Everyone does the process differently. Which, as a big circle, same thing with NaNoWriMo. NaNoWriMo is so open source. Like, there's very little in direction to it because you can run with it in pretty much any direction. You get, as long as you get from point A to point B, whatever side routes you take, if you take a helicopter, if you take a train, if you decide to go on a little moped going, get to the end. And hopefully you have fun with the scenic route. If you don't, I'm sorry. Because you're going to have a miserable time getting point A to point B if you're going on the rocky road.
I feel like the end of the day, all that matters about all that matters is about creating. Just please have fun. Just remember it's supposed to be fun. It's your passion. It's supposed to be something you love to do. And if it's hurting you, maybe step away.
Exactly. As someone who's done it multiple times, if you are having a miserable time, which I was last year, feel there's no shame in tapping out.
Actually, there is no greater feeling, in my opinion, than painting over a canvas that I don't like how it's, like the direction it's moving in.
Oh, and again, there's plenty of authors that said, you know what? That particular paragraph, sentence, book wasn't working for me, so I deleted it.
Yep.
And I know there's a lot of you probably listening going, oh, like, they couldn't just... There are authors who are, like, so disgusted with it, or they know, like, their own personal writing style. It's not up to their, like, level of writing that they're like, this is garbage. I'm fine with letting it go and putting it back into the ether.
There's something kind of, like, nice about that.
And it's healthy. It is very healthy.
Uh-huh. It makes me think of those like Buddhist mandalas, right? They make them out of sand, and then at the end of the day, they've got this really beautiful creative thing, and then they sweep it up.
From all of my years studying Buddhism and practicing, like, I can tell you, like, I love everything around me in my home. I could throw it in the garbage today, this second, if I had to. It means not that much to me.
Well, the chalk artist. Those chalk artists.
I used to do, chalk artists for sure.
I actually got to meet a local chalk artist that lives out in a PB area next to our booth at the North Park Book Fair.
Yeah.
He was doing a piece, and I got to, like, finally, like, chat with him and be like, I've seen your work.
That's incredible.
And then I got to watch people walk all over it after he was done with it, and it was so painful.
Oh, remember the scene?
But that was just because I was, like, the effort.
Remember the scene in the, like, the Mary Poppins movie, the old Disney one, where Bert, who does, like, many things, is also doing chalk art? Like, no, Bert, it's all getting ruined because it rained. And Bert's like, it happens. I'll make a new one another day.
It's just a new can. It's just like a the people at Disney that like make the little art out of like water on the sidewalk or like leaves, different things like that.
It's incredible.
I mean, what are you going to do? Cry about something that's gone forever, or just like, you know what? Let's just roll with
Enjoy that you had it, man.
Well, that was the thing. I bought a bunch of those like magnetic poetry like word magnets, and used to like sit on the kitchen floor in front of my fridge and like do little like poems that way in the middle of the night, and then like take them down. And like that was the best part of it, being like, okay, I'm done with this. I can go put these magnets all away and be finished. And there's like a satisfaction in like the process and not committing it to whatever, you know.
Can I please have you both go look at the tweet that I just put at the bottom of the Google Doc?
Yes.
Because I need you all to know that this is what real professional authors are like.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Incredible. This is Peter Kleins.
Yeah, a never-ending thread. Well, I mean, not never-ending. It's from starting in October 5th. Of just different sexy Lego costumes.
Oh, my dear.
Oh, amazing.
You too can be a writer.
That's so funny.
Oh, Peter Kleins.
Peter Kleins, friend of the store, Peter Kleins. He was just in like a couple days ago.
Yeah. Literally.
That's why I was like, I must call this out.
It's great. I love this tarantula costume. That's the one that you actually like linked. It's very good.
It's very much it's very Black sexy. Arachnia from Beast Wars.
Oh, goodness.
Amazing.
Let's see. Hey, Nick, what are you reading right now?
I thought you'd never ask. Well, I knew it would come at some point. I hope you cut this part out, Gary.
We're going to actually make it longer. We're going to slow down the audio.
Okay.
Going to extend those silences until it's awkward, until people look at their phones like,
to make sure it's not
is this over yet?
I forgot the name. I'm looking it up currently. There we go.
Nick doesn't know what he's reading.
There we go. No, you're like, shut up.
I don't know what I'm reading.
So I just started probably last week. Again, this is in the future. So at this point, it'd be like a month ago. The Keeper of the Night by Kylie Lee Baker. So this one is the first of a series, book one in The Keeper of Night. So this one starts in England, and there are reapers that take, basically, like a reaper should, they take lives, the end lives of people that have been like, okay, yeah, you need to go out and collect this person's soul because it's the end of their time. But what I really thought was interesting was what she has done is like every different culture has different reapers. So in England, they have a different term for them. In Japan, the main character is half English, half Japanese. So she's half Reaper, half Shin Megami. Shinigami.
Shinigami, demigod.
Yeah.
And so, like, the English Reapers have special powers. The Shinigami are able to control light. It's very interesting so far. I may be, like, 50 pages in, at this point, and I'm like, oh, okay, this is really interesting, because I haven't read a book about Reapers in a long time since, like, Scythe.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
So I'm enjoying it so far. Yeah, Keeper of Night by Kylie Lee Baker.
Let me tell you something about a little story called Bleach. It's about the Shinigami.
Hey, actually, you know what's really funny? Nick mentioned the Shinigami control light, and I was like, oh, Death Note?
Oh my god. Literally both. We did watch anime in the early 2000s.
We really did. Becca, what are you reading right now?
Wait, no.
Sorry, Nick, you were saying something. I don't want to interrupt
you. I was just going to comment. I tried to block Bleach out of my head. Just too many episodes. Okay. Too many episodes got too convoluted. Enough said.
See, that's you gotta go with the manga, just because the anime was trying so hard to like get ahead of the manga for some reason that you end up with all that filler.
I'm still salty we never got a conclusion for Inuyasha in America.
Yes, we did. What are you talking about?
They didn't air it on Toonami, that's for dang sure.
So it wasn't on Toonami, and honestly, we could do a whole episode about the great anime streaming wars, because they've just concluded, and Funimation and Crunchyroll are becoming one.
Yeah. But,
if you look at all of the streaming services, Hulu and Netflix have up to like season 4 or 5, with varying rights to the music, so some of the openings won't even have actual sound.
That's wild.
And then, I can't remember, it's either Funimation or Crunchyroll. I think it's Funimation has the entirety of it, as well as all of the movies, as well as Yashahime, I think that's the name of it. That's going to bother me, one second. Yeah, Yashahime Princess Half Demon, which is about Kagome, Inuyasha's kids, and Sesshomaro's kids. So there is conclusion. You can get closure.
I guess it just was not that the conclusion was available for me when I was that teenager who would like stay up late every night watching Inuyasha going, I must know if they're together. Oh, Inuyasha.
Well, I will say, to be fair, you are correct that the anime, the first run of the anime, never gave us an ending, because it got canceled, I believe, and then the movies are what continued that storyline until the... Let me look up what
this is complicated.
Now that I'm thinking back, I'm wondering if Inuyasha turned me into a furry.
I don't think so. I'm just going to say... I literally have Buyo, Kagome's cat, tattooed on my arm. That is why I sound like a crazy person about this.
That's so funny. I was just trying to ask you what you were reading.
Shut up. This is more
important. And now it's been hijacked to anime hour.
Yeah. That's fine. We can have anime hour.
All right. Here we go. This is a official watch list as explained by someone on Reddit 8 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Season 1 through 2, movie 1, season 3 through 4, movie 2, season 5, movie 3, season 6 through 7, movie 4.
Wow.
And then the secondary series after the original series Inuyasha that you and I know from Toonami, mm-hmm, is called Inuyasha the Final Act. And that is about basically Inuyasha and Kagome coming together after she graduates high school, and she makes the decision to stay in the feudal era and be with him.
As I would hope.
I think that's obvious from the fact that we now have a series about their child who lives in the feudal era. Like, I don't feel like it's a spoiler to say that they had a kid in the feudal era.
I mean, yeah, I wouldn't like say, oh, hey, they didn't have to stay together for them to have a kid. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, that's fair, but
that's also true.
Did you really think Inuyasha would have a kid with someone and not stay with them forever? That man is so territorial.
I don't know. Stuff happens.
Anyways, I'm not like telling you the spoiler of like who the mother is of Sesshomaru's kids.
Oh god, I have an idea, but I'm like, I hope it's not that So I'm not anything about that.
No! Gross!
You have to... I mean, I guess that the thing is, right, it didn't happen until she was an adult. And, like, it's basically... I don't know if I can say it's as very different to Inuyasha and Kagome, because Inuyasha was hundreds of years old, and Kagome was literally 15 when she met him.
But, okay, fair, but for how much of that time... How much of that time was he stuck to a frickin' tree?
No, but he was hundreds of years old before he was stuck to the tree.
Really? Oh.
Yeah, like, he and his brother are extremely old. Yeah, like, both he and Sesshomaru are creeps. Or not, because that, like, is how they did it, but I don't know.
All right, I'm done talking about them. What are you reading?
I'm reading What the Koi Volume 1, available now in our brand new manga section. And I'm also finishing up The Heart Principle, the third in series for The Kiss Quotient by Helen Huang. Hey, you should pronounce things properly.
That sounds fun. I know you talked about it on the minisode that we recorded the same day we recorded this.
Yeah.
Which people heard a month ago.
So for those of you who haven't heard the shtick about What the Koi, it is a... office romance between two characters who are both otaku secretly, and they were best friends in elementary school and then lost touch and end up reconnecting through this, and it's about their relationship together.
That's cute. That sounds cute.
Yeah. What are you reading, Gary?
Let's see.
I don't know why it sounded so aggressive. I'm sorry.
This is out November 18th, so I'm reading Thrawn Ascendancy Lesser Evil, which is the third and final book in this current Thrawn trilogy, and I'm excited about it. My goal is to, right now, what I'm reading like right now as we record is I'm finishing up the fourth Chorus of Dragons book, and I have my hands on an advanced copy of book 5, so I think I should be finished with that by the time this episode airs, and then I'm going to get back into Thrawn. That's my plan anyway. So yeah.
Well, it sounds like we're all reading books.
Lots of books. All the books.
How odd. Books.
Yeah. Who knew that we, a bunch of booksellers, would be reading books?
People who work at bookstores read books? ?
Really?
I mean, yeah. I feel like not as often as you would think. Like I don't know, I'm busy.
I go through phases of like being really, really productive and getting books done. And then
I shelve more books than anyone that isn't a bookseller.
That's true.
Well, except for librarians. I feel like they have me beat.
Yep. That'd be fair.
They do an excellent service though. Like, yes. They have to have a degree.
They're doing the Lord's work.
Exactly. The Lord of books.
The Lord of books.
Anyways, thank you all so much for listening to us ramble here at the end. As always, all books, memes, articles, and such will be linked below in the description. And books will be available through our website, mistgalaxy.com. Shout out to Austin Farmer, as always, for the use of our intro and outro music. It's cut from Kill the Farm Boy off of his album Bookshelf Symphony Orchestra. The link to his Spotify is below. Please go give it a listen if you haven't. I don't know why you wouldn't have, but...
Yeah, it's so good.
You know, it may be your first time. Welcome. And to stay up to date on events, new releases, and all the other important info we forget to share here, follow us on all social media platforms at Mist Galaxy Books. Otherwise, we'll see you again soon in a galaxy not so far away.
Bye, guys. Bye. Good luck with NaNoWriMo. May the gods be in your favor.